I wanted to start off this morning. A few weeks back, I did something where I showed you guys a bunch of funny church signs that I had found. And a lot of you guys, you loved it. And a lot of you guys sent me emails and sent me different signs. And so I kind of collected all of those. And I wanted to do this 2.0, all right? These are the ones you guys sent in. These are the second ones. The first one, live your life well so we don't have to lie at your funeral. All right, that'll preach right there. We have a sermon on that sometime, right? All right, that'll preach right there. All right, tweet others as you would like to be tweeted. That's just, I don't know. Ever sent that one? Thank you for that. We're all about that grace, no devil. Some of you get that. Some of you are like, amen. That's good. You know, some of you, all right, God bless both groups of you. All right, here we go. What we got here? Having trouble sleeping? We have sermons. Come hear one. If you think I'm not writing down the names of who sent me these, you are sadly mistaken, all right? I have a list. I have a list of people, and I'm going to preach at you for the rest. For those of you who have children but don't know it, we have a nursery downstairs. Amen. All right. Amen. All right, here we go. Life has no remote. Get up and change it yourself. Amen. I told you, mad sign guy, right? Like, the sign guy's got a mission. He's got his own agenda. All right, here's the last one. Time is short. Hell is hot. Jesus is coming, ready or not. Hey, amen. All right. Well, that, I don't know. There we go. I'm not sure. I think the grand total of people saved from these signs is zero. Maybe one person. All right, God. I'd say. But we're in this series with Jesus. All right. We're looking at these stories in the Bible. And we want this to become something real to us. So we're looking at it, and in Acts 14, this is kind of our series verse for the month of June. In Acts 4, verse 13, just to kind of set it up for you, we're after Pentecost. We're after Jesus has died and resurrected, and he's reappeared to the disciples and ascended into heaven. And he tells them, go in Jerusalem and wait until power comes. And so they go, and they're in the upper room, and it's about, they say it's about 7 weeks after. And so we're right around this time, about 7 weeks after Easter, and we celebrated May 20th, that's Pentecost Sunday. And so in these next couple of weeks, the Holy Spirit falls on them, and they have Pentecost, and they're out there preaching, and thousands are getting saved and added to their number. And then it says that they go into the temple one day, Peter and John, and they're going into the temple at the hour of prayer, and there's a man there who's been lame since birth. And he's over 40 years old, this man, and he asked them for money, and they say, we don't have any money, but what we have, we'll give you. In the name of Jesus Christ, stand up and walk. And the man walks. And there's this huge commotion, and they start to preach again about Jesus, and people are getting saved. And it says that the Sanhedrin and the religious leaders come upon them. I like the way the word Bible, they come upon them, and they arrest them, and they take them in, and they let them speak at their trial. And these men, Peter and John, they just stand up, and they speak boldly. It's just amazing what they say before these guys. And they say, you know, is this such a thing to put on trial that we did something good for this man? And if it is because of what we did, then let us tell you how we did it. It's in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And it says that they can't believe how these guys are speaking because they realize they're uneducated. They're fishermen, and they realize, and they can't figure it out. And then this phrase in here in 4:13, this phrase, they were astonished. In the next part, it says, and they recognized that they had been with Jesus. They realized that they had been with Jesus. And let that be said of us. Let this not be a church of, you know, the best singers or, you know, the ones who have the most perfect people or the best sermons. Let that not be. Let it be said of us that we had been with Jesus. Let people recognize that about our lives. Because we're here at the same kind of time frame as they were. And I just wanted to do a series about Jesus. Just spend a few weeks just looking at his life, just learning about him and spending time with him. Because you can do a lot of things for Jesus, but I told you last week, the best parts of your life are when you do things with Jesus. When you spend enough time with him. And so we're just going to kind of look at that. Paul wrote it this way in 1 Corinthians. He said, you remember, friends, when I first came to you to let you in on God's master stroke, I didn't try to impress you with polished speeches and the latest philosophy. I deliberately kept it plain and simple. First Jesus and who he is, then Jesus and what he did, Jesus crucified. He said it wasn't about fancy words, because if you can be fancy word into Christianity, you can be fancy word right back out. He said it's all about Jesus. Spending time with Jesus, the alive and resurrected Jesus. And so we're going to do that. It's just an awesome chance we have. And I want to make this as plain and simple as I can, because a lot of people, the problem is a lot of people have a distorted view of God. They have a distorted view of who Jesus is. They have this kind of arm's length view of what he looks like, what he was all about. And so I just want to take a few weeks, just as simple as we can, and spend them with Jesus. and just kind of set the record straight. And last week we talked about him feeding the 5,000. And you remember, I had a few top level, if you don't remember, I had a few top level points on there about how we depend on Jesus, how we never miss what he wants to teach us, how we spend time with him, how we lean on him, how we put what's in our hand in his hands. And in the next few weeks, I just want to kind of drill down on a few of those ideas, kind of those top level ideas. I just want to kind of get a little bit closer, look at a few more stories about Jesus and maybe how he teaches us. Never as like a teacher just saying, you know, here's what you need to do and never living it, on a hillside somewhere saying, do this, how he acted it out. And just a few things about Jesus, just spending time with him. And this morning, we're just going to look at Jesus as our shepherd. Jesus as our shepherd. Go with me, John chapter 10. This morning, John 10:10, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. So get this. So the thief he's talking is the devil. And in this, he's just saying all he does is steal and kill and destroy. That's all he does. But I've come, this is Jesus talking, that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Jesus is saying, I don't know if you know this, but this is probably Jesus' favorite description of himself and of the church, of him as the shepherd and the church as the flock. He has a lot of metaphors in the Gospels for how he describes that relationships, and Paul continues it, speaking of different metaphors of what represents that relationship between Jesus and the church. And the first one that you might have seen before is that the church is a family, that we're a family of God. And that means that, you know, they're not just some big institution with smaller, you know, smaller institutions and then, you know, the workers at that. It's not like that. It's that we are a family together, taking care of one another, relational with each other. And if you're ever in a church where it's not relational, you need to get out, because that's what the church of God is. It's about relationships. It's about being a family of God. Another one that kind of a metaphor for it is unity. The unity of the church of God, that it's a body of Christ. And that idea is that there should be unity among the members. I heard a great sermon preached on that. I'm going to kind of probably steal it maybe in the next few months. It's just on the unity of the body of Christ. And the whole idea behind that is that each of us has a function that we're living in. The reason we do the church, one of the reasons we have the growth track available to you guys, is each of us has a function. There are no spectators in your body. All right, there's no body parts that you have. They're just like, I'm just here to watch. I'm just here, you know, just to chill out, to do. Right. There are no spectators. Each part of the body has a function, has a part of it. And so that's the unity of it. And the last description, though, the one that he uses the most, that Jesus uses, is that of the shepherd and the flock. That of the shepherd. And so we're just going to look at that. Psalms 100 and verse 3. Know that the Lord is God, as he who's made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. And you might remember in the last few months, I've compared you guys, right, to us as the church, to everything, right? You've been a donkey, you've been a piece of wood, you've been a tree, you've been all kind of, today you are a sheep, all right? So just come on, just come to grips with it and thank for that. But my goal is simple with this message, all right? It's not a very complicated thing. My goal is very simple, and that is that you begin to know Jesus as the shepherd. That at the end of this message, whether you go out here saying, you know, he been really screwed it up today, or whatever I do, that God would move me out of the way, but that you would begin to know Jesus as the shepherd, as your shepherd. Because you have to have that in your life. And I'm not talking about an earthly pastor or a church, and you do need a church. It might not be here, it's got to be somewhere. You do need to be in a church. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about Jesus being your shepherd. And the love and the care that you receive. And so here's what I thought I'd do. And that is, the most beautiful description of the Lord as a shepherd is in Psalms 23. And some of you thought I was hard on the Psalms last week. Some of you talked to me, you know, you thought I wasn't hard on the Psalms. Some of you thought I did them a disservice. I just think they need to be read in light of Jesus. I think every part of the Bible needs to be read in light of Jesus. Because that's the focal point. That's where everything else stems from. And so I wanted to look at Psalms 23 this morning. And we're going to put it up here, and I put it in the New King James Version, because that's maybe what a lot of us grew up memorizing. That's the one you've heard before. But you might have heard this, even if you didn't grow up in church, you might have heard this before. So here's what I thought I'd do. I thought we would all read this together, all right, this morning. Notice I didn't say softly, all right? So join with me. We're all going to read this one together, okay? Every voice, full voice, everybody, I don't care where you are, if you're listening right now, all right, we're going to read this one together. It says a Psalm of David, so let's start on the Lord, all right? Here we go. Everybody together. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen? Amen. Somebody says, hey, you can amen. Some of you are saying, why don't we just do this for 20, 30 minutes? Why am I up here? You know, just, why don't we just read? But if you've heard this verse, you've heard this maybe all your life, or maybe you just heard it for the first time, that the Lord is my shepherd. I almost call this sermon the Lord, you know, spending time with Jesus, the shepherd. And then I love how this puts it. The Lord is my shepherd. And that's what I want for you this morning, that you go out of here saying, Jesus is my shepherd. And my hope is that you know him intimately, that you learn how he cares for you. And so I just kind of went through this chapter, kind of like we've been doing a few other Sundays, and just pulled out some attributes or quality. There's a lot of them in here, all right? So I just landed on six. But there are a lot of them in there. I'd love to talk with you over all of them. But I just landed, and don't get discouraged when I say six, all right? I move quickly through points, all right? So don't hang your hat on me yet. But I just landed on six of them. And here's the first one, all right? And that is that the shepherd provides. Just start out the chapter right away, that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And the Hebrew for that, it actually means I will lack nothing. That the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. And I know that the first inkling for a lot of you is to say, well, no, you know, just hold on. You know, because I've been a Christian a long time, and I've learned a lot. A lot of you are saying, well, I've been through some things, and you know, I had. But it says that the Lord, I will lack nothing. You say, well, I've been through some troubles and some trials, and I've been through, and I have too. And I'm in a unique place in ministry at the church in that I've had the chance over the last 10, 15 years to walk through things with some of you guys. And just to kind of walk, not that I shouldered the burden, but just to do whatever I could just to be with some of you guys in some of these trials and things. And the thing that I have learned the most in talking with people who are far more mature in the Lord than I am, and seeing people go through different things and going through some of them myself, the thing that I've learned the most is that God is faithful. And the thing I've learned, you ask anybody who has loved him, anybody who has served God, and they will tell you the one thing they have learned about him is that he is faithful. That you will lack for nothing. That nobody will lie to you. Nobody who's truthful will lie to you and say, I don't have any problems, or I never go through anything, or there are never any storms. Nobody will ever. And you just run from a person who tells you that as fast as you can. But they will always tell you that he is faithful. That God is good, that he is our shepherd, that we will lack nothing. And he'll always be there for us. He's always taking care of us. In college, I was about as frugal a person as you could ever meet. All right, I didn't buy it if it wasn't used. I didn't, you know, only reason I wasn't peeling apart the 2-ply toilet paper is they gave us toilet paper for free. All right, amen. Bless them for that. Okay, I was about the most frugal And just to, you know, confession is good for the soul, but bad for the reputation, right? I'm gonna lay it out for you guys right now, okay? Back then, I had this thing we would call, we had a group of us, we would call it the Walmart rental, where we would just go and we would go to Walmart if we needed something and rent it, right? And then just bring it back before the 30 days was up. We needed dress shoes, we needed whatever we needed, we'd go to Walmart and rent it. And when I would go and visit someone, I would go to Walmart. I would just fly out, no bags, no nothing. And I would go to Walmart, buy my clothes. I'd buy an inflatable mattress, pillows, sheets, the whole works, right? And then I return it when there's 30 days. And so I found the picture of this. And so I just wanted to show you guys this. I thought I'd let you just see kind of what I look so. That is one of our Walmart rentals. That's me bringing everything back. Actually, after this, about 2 months after this, Walmart put a sign up on the inflatable mattresses. You shall not buy and return, right? No more returns. So you can thank me for that. All right. I don't know if that's frugal or criminal. I'll let you guys be decide of that one. But I was the most frugal I could be. And I distinctly remember in college that I was in an anthropology type course where we were discussing parental and child purchasing power and consumerism. And I distinctly remember sitting there and thinking, no way. Like no way this is going to be me. And it was all about how parents spend on their kids. I was like, no, my kids are going to get like a stick and a ball. And like that, they're lucky if I let them rent toys from Walmart on Christmas, right? Like that's not going to be me. It's not, and I can still remember that moment, the table sitting there and thinking that. And you should have let me preach on kids back then, right? You should have. I had some good insight. I could have been like preaching on marriage before I got married, right? It's just I had some insight on kids, and then I had kids, all right. And then you just, you know, some of you just know that. And then I had them, and the first time we were in that toy aisle, and they're looking up at me with the big eyes, I about bought the whole store. Right, I broke off that spirit of frugality, right? I got a spirit of bankruptcy, right? All the parents say amen. I wanted to buy, like, my wife had to be the voice of reason in our, because my wife is the only adult left in our household. Like, it really is, because I got that thing. I probably told you guys this story a million. I probably told you this two or three times to your face. One time my wife took our daughter Hava to the store to go get something, and my boys ran up to me and they were like, Daddy, what do you want to do? Mommy left us here all alone. And I was like, yes! But I had that spirit of frugality just broken off me. And as they grow, we're getting more intentional about, you know, experiences over stuff. But right now, I'm stealing from Joe McGee, right? I am Santa Claus stuck upside down in their chimney. I really am. I want to get things. And so a couple of weeks ago, two or three weeks ago, I dragged home two big cardboard boxes, and they were empty, but, you know, fridge size, just the greatest things, you know, known to man. And so they're all cheering, and we're outside, and we're building them into a fort and cutting the windows and doing everything. And about that time, I don't know where he got it from, because I didn't teach him, but my 5-year-old Elijah looked at me and he said, Daddy, go inside and get the big apple juice. You know, Costco, you got the big apple juice, right? And he's like, go inside and get the big apple juice, and we'll have an apple juice stand. And I was like, an apple juice stand? He's like, yeah, so I can get some money to buy Legos. And I was thinking, like I'm actually kind of, I should be happy about this, right? Like, yeah, you make your own money. And so I had like the practical moment. I was like, buddy, you know, it's kind of late. All the academy parents had gone home already in the parking lot. I was like, you know, and we don't have a lot of foot traffic in our neighborhood. And so I was kind of like telling him, like, hey, you know, maybe tomorrow we can do it and really sell some, you know, some apple juice. And he looked at me like I just the most confused. And he looked at the street. And he looked at the parking lot, and he said, they don't matter, Daddy, you can buy it. And I thought, he's right, I can, and he was right. I bought 18 cups of apple juice that I already own. And like, I just, you know how sick you get drinking the big apple juice? Praise God for it. But he was right. And my son Elijah doesn't have any worries at this kind of thing. He doesn't worry about foot traffic and who's going to buy. He's got a daddy. His daddy's going to take care of it. And he doesn't worry about where money for Legos are going to come. He just knows daddy's going to take care of it. He's not worried about anything. He's going to sell out his apple juice stand every time, right? He's not worried about anything because his dad is his provider, and he's right. He's right. And there's discipline. We have bad. I am the provider of spankings as much as I am of Legos, all right? So we do have discipline. We have bad days, but he never wonders if his daddy loves him. He never wonders if his needs are going to get met. And so I wanted to kind of give you that kind of minimum. They don't know anything about the stock market, my kids. They don't know anything about the checkbook. They don't know how much money I have. They don't know. They just kind of wake up in the morning. They kind of stumble out of bed, right? And there's Cheerios. All right, you get that? They just kind of show up. They don't know where it comes from. They don't care where it comes from. They just eat. All right, they just eat whatever's there. They know that their needs are going to be met. They don't know where it's coming from. They just eat the Cheerios. That'll preach. Put that on the bumper sticker this morning. All right, they just know that it gets there. And I was thinking, how many times we in our own lives, we get so self-sufficient. We get so independent, and we get out from underneath the covering of our shepherd. We get out from under, we're going to take care of this ourselves. And we leave the covering of the shepherd of our soul. We're going to do this. We're going to do whatever it is. And the Bible says this about Jesus. It says in Philippians 4, and my God will meet all your needs. Shepherd provides according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. In the shepherd. And we say, well, no, I'm just going to kind of get out there. And you say, well, how do I get back under it? How do I get, and it's simple. How do you get back under the covering? And those of you who have older kids, you know this, that as long as the relationship is pure and right, they are under that covering. As long as they truly want to come back, as long as their hearts are true, they want to come back under it, they're under that. You have that unconditional love. And the same with our Father, as long as that relationship is pure and right, but they want to get out there on their own, they're going to find out how it is. But they truly want to come back, they want to get back under there. As long as that relationship is pure and right, God is saying, as long as you stay under, as long as you honor me first, As long as you keep that relationship first and you show him that you know that he is the provider of all good things, you stay underneath that covering. The second thing is, one of the first one, the shepherd provides. The second one is that the shepherd restores. And I looked at a few different words for this, but I like this one. And I'll show you in a verse kind of where it came from. But the shepherd restores. And anybody who ever's walked through anything difficult, and I don't, by the way, just an aside, I don't ever give examples of maybe a problem or a pain or a tribulation or anything that I walk through. I never give it as a way of saying, well, what I go through is better or even equal to what some of you have gone through. I never give that as something. It's just a way of me using an example just to show a point or to show something. But I never want to make you think that, well, I'm just giving all of my you know, baggage, and this is something more. Some of you have walked through some things. And I never want you to diminish that. I never want it to seem like I'm being above that. But some of you walk in, if you have walked through something, you have walked through a painful thing, you know that it just sucks something out of you. It just takes something out of you. And so many of us have to go through seasons of restoration. We have to let the shepherd restore. We have to let him restore. It says he restores my soul. The psalm says he makes me lie down. And I was wondering about that. Why that Hebrew word is he lays me down. Why he makes us to lie down. Because you won't do it yourself. I don't know if you ever had a parent or a family member who has to rest and they just won't, and you just know it's a lost cause. Like, you're not going to make them. It's not going to happen. It says he makes us lie down because you're just so busy. You're just so busy that you won't rest. Rest is the root of the word restore. You won't. So it says the shepherd makes you lie down. And I'll let you interpret that in your own life, however that is. He'll make you lie down and restore you. He restores our soul. And some of you don't even know about the quality of Jesus as your peace. Some of you have never even had that. You've been a Christian a long time and you've never had Jesus as your peace. You're just so busy. You just got to do. And Jesus said in John chapter 14, he says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. Not as the world gives. Don't let your hearts be troubled or do not be afraid. Peace I give you. And it says the green pastures that he leads me to green pastures. And I believe that's the word of God. And I don't know, again, I don't know where you run to in your times of trouble, but this Bible has been a lifesaver for me. We had a whole sermon on it earlier in the year. I cannot put that too highly before you. The word of God, it has been a lifesaver to me. Because people are going to come around you. People are going to put their arms and we're going to back you up and we're going to comfort you and we're going to say words and we're going to do everything we can for you. But if you need real comfort, it is in the word of God. If you need true things, if you need to be in green pastures, and when is the last time that you just let yourself feed? And I'm not talking about your little devotion where you're, you know, stuffing a muffin in your mouth and your coffee and you're getting off to work. I'm not talking about that. When is the last time you just let yourself feed on the word of God, just to read it, just to let it restore your soul, not with any intention behind it, but that you're going to feed yourself. One of the struggles that I have, and I'll lay it out before you, is that when I'm preparing for a sermon or I'm doing something like that, a lot of times my only reading will be because I'm preparing for something. And God just had to show that to me that's not feeding myself. I'm preparing, and that's great. And you might lead a Bible study, or you might want to, you know, message, you know, give something to other people, and so you're looking for stuff to encourage, and you're looking, but feeding yourself. You are the sheep of his pasture. The shepherd makes you lie down to feed yourself, to restore yourself. And it says that he leads me beside the still waters. And I just believe that's worship. I've done this probably four or five times now this year alone, just talking to you guys about finding out when you need to go into worship, when you need to enter the presence of God, the still waters. When you need to let God step into whatever the situation is, when you're going through something, you just enter into worship. Because that problem looks so big. That trouble or whatever it is, that storm looks so big. But when you let an even bigger God step into it, you get perspective. When you let an even bigger God enter the situation, you just go into worship. Some of you need to turn off the radio, turn off the news, and turn on the worship. Amen. You just got to get into the presence of God. There's no excuse. There's no substitute for that, just going into the presence of God, letting him speak into the situation, letting God restore your soul, and only the shepherd can provide it. Only the shepherd can restore. And I encourage you, just spend time just reading God's word and worshiping. And I looked up the word restore. It comes from the Hebrew word. It just means to go back to the point of departure, to return to the point of departure. Some of you, you've gone off. You had that point where you were on the right, and then you just kind of veered off. And if it makes you feel any better, I do this all the time. But we have to go back to that point of departure. We got to rest, be restored, the root of the word. Here's the third thing the shepherd does. He provides, he restores, the shepherd leads. He leads. Psalm says he leads me in paths of righteousness. In other words, he leads me in right paths. If you can kind of make it that way. He leads me in right paths. I'm going to be as simple as possible. There are paths that are wrong paths. All right, we got that. There are paths in your life that if you take it, you will end up in trouble. All right, there are decisions that you can make. If you make the wrong one, if you decide the wrong way, you will end up in trouble. But then there are other paths, paths of righteousness. And it says, for his name's sake. And if I could put it in a way for you, maybe there are paths that you can take that have his name on it. There are paths that you can take that are the right ones. The shepherd leads in those right paths. And that if you took those right paths, the ones that have his name on it, you'll find fulfillment. That you'll find out what you were made for. And before I say this, let me put this part kind of give you the disclaimer. I never want to hurt your feelings. I don't say this in any kind of mean way. But this is why we do the growth track and the dream team here at the church. This is why we do kind of what we do during those classes, 101, 201, 301, 401. And I want to say this again. I'm not trying to hurt your feelings, but it's not because we need you. All right, this is not, although the church would run better if you did. But this is not a recruitment for volunteers. It's because we know that in order to find the right path, we just want to help you find out what you were made for. We just want to help you find out, because the church is going pretty well without you. All right, we're kind of doing pretty good. All right, we had the Dream Team party a few weeks ago, and we packed out the fellowship hall. Just been just an awesome time, just celebrating that team, the ones who kind of just make victory go, and just doing. We just celebrated them. But we're doing pretty. And when you came in today, there's probably 50 people that served you today, this Sunday morning, and they're all over this auditorium and all over this campus. And some are not even on the campus this morning. They're up at the Kids Zone camp. They're taking care of your babies. They're up at Kids Zone Camp being counselors. They're running the cameras and the media, and they're doing all of this. They're running sound. Some of them are up here singing. Some of them are barbecuing your chicken. Some of them are doing all these. Some of them, you know, greeted you at the door. Some of them set out your coffee for you during the break, and they're going to clean it all up when you leave. Praise God for the Dream Team. Amen? Praise God for them. And so it's not like it's not a volunteer recruitment thing. This is literally, we just want to help you find out. And as soon as you do, I guarantee you it will change your life. That camp counselor, Or the small group leader this morning, when somebody gave their life to Jesus, when that kid is giving his life at camp to Jesus, they're not thinking, I wish I had spent this weekend fishing. You know, I really just wish I wasn't. It will change your life. And so that's I just want to open that to you. If you want to come today, we got food. 101, you've never been to the thing. You've been here 30 years at this church. You could come this morning. Just come hang out. You just want to come eat and hang out and talk? Come on, it's 101. We just want to have that chance, though, to find out what you were made for. What God wants to use you doing, where your strengths are. My biggest dream is not for me. I changed for me over the last 5-10 years. My biggest dream is not for me, it's for you. All I want is for you to find out what you were made for. And I want to help you however I can do that. However I can do that. He leads me in paths of righteousness, so we submit our plan to his down that path. And we get this question so many times around Easter when we do the You Asked For It series. We do that survey on Easter asking questions. The biggest question a lot of times we get is, well, how do you know what God's will is for me? How do you know what God's will is? How do I know? How do I figure it out? And it's very simple. I'm going to give it to you. He spells it out in John 10. Jesus is speaking. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listens to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name. This is the shepherd, and leads them out. When he's brought them out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they'll never follow a stranger. In fact, they'll run away from him because they don't recognize a stranger's voice. You want to know what God's will is for your life? You get so close, you spend so much time with Jesus that you know his voice. You just recognize his distinct voice. You spend so much time with Jesus that you can hear his voice. And it says a stranger, they're not going to listen to a stranger. In fact, they run away from a stranger. You're not even worried about going down wrong paths because you know what voice is trying to get you to go down them. You get so close to Jesus. You just spend so much time, you recognize his voice. It says the sheep know their shepherd's voice. And he leads them. There was a man that went to Israel and he wanted to see shepherds. He wanted to see sheep and shepherds. He read about them in his Bible. He wanted just to go. He wanted to see them in the Holy Land. And so he showed up in Israel and he had his guide. And he told his guide, and they're in the city just kind of walking. And suddenly down the street came this huge just flock of sheep. Just running, making a ruckus, blah, you know, making the noise that sheep make. Just tearing through, running people over, right? Just running through. And a few seconds after they passed, there was a man came running with his stick. And he's just yelling curses and just, you know, running out screaming. And the man was kind of confused and he looked at his guide and he said, I thought the shepherd leads the sheep. And the man said, yeah, but that, you're right, but that's not the shepherd. That's the butcher. But what they tell you is that the shepherds, they'll lead their sheep. Sometimes there'll be only one place that's good for grazing. And the 3, 4, 5 of the shepherds will lead their flock and let them all kind of mingle on the same hill or on the same field and kind of eat. And what they'll do is they'll kind of wait until they think they're kind of about done. And the first shepherd will stand up. And he'll just give this noise. I go, hey, I don't know what noise they make. There you go. And he just gives that noise. And he says that his sheep will start to work their way out of the flock. And he'll just start walking. And they'll just work their way out of the flock and start following him. And they ask, do they ever stay behind? Like, and they say, never. The sheep just know. And the second guy will get up and he'll give it. And his sheep will say, oh, that's my guy. That's my guy. I know my noise, right? And they'll just follow him out. They just know, that noise. I need this for my kids, right? I need this, like, in crowded places. I just need to be able to make a, like Sound of Music, Von Trapp family type, just a whistle, right? I need this for my kids. Well, they just follow. They know their shepherd's voice. They know their shepherd's voice. So you say, well, I don't know what God is saying. I don't know. Have you spent enough time with Jesus to know his voice? As simple as I can make it, have you spent enough time with Jesus? Because the secret, and it's not really a secret, is you spend enough time with daily communication with him. And the problem, though, is a lot of people only have it once a week. And they wonder why they don't know it as well as they should. And I know that's not you. I know we want to have that daily communication with our Savior. We want to spend that time with Jesus. The fourth thing this morning, and that is the shepherd supports. This was another one where I kind of went back and forth on what the word should be. The shepherd supports. Because the next part of the psalm, it says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'm not going to be afraid. I'm not going to be afraid. Why? Because I know that the shepherd is with me. And I came across this verse in 2 Timothy. I don't think I've ever used this in a sermon before. 2 Timothy 4 says, at my first defense, this is Paul speaking, said, at my first defense, no one came to my support. That's why I picked the word. But everyone deserted me may not be held against them. Paul is better than I am, right? He's a better man than I am. But the Lord stood at my side. No one else came to my support, but the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength. So through me, the message might be proclaimed, to the Gentiles might hear it, and I was delivered from the lion's mouth. He said, everybody else deserted me, but the Lord supported me. Jesus supported me. Jesus gave me strength. And listen to me close. I can tell you firsthand that when you are going through dark times, he's there. And when you're at the bedside, when they breathe their last, he's there. And when you're in the emergency room or you're in the courtroom, he's there. And when you're at the graveside service, he's there. And when you're going through things in your life that you think will tear you down, and you're laying on your bed and you're crying and you think everybody else has deserted you, he's there. The shepherd supports. Because I don't care if everybody else has walked out on you. Jesus is there. Paul, one of the greatest examples that we have, said everybody left him. Everybody deserted him, but Jesus supported him. He's there. Said he'll never leave you nor forsake you. He won't. Well, we read those kind of sometimes as catechisms, or we just kind of, you know, say, but he will never leave you or forsake you. He's there. Fifth thing this morning, the shepherd supports us. Fifth thing, the shepherd defends. He defends. What I mean by that is when you are attacked, the Bible says your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And I want you to notice this phrase, that is rod and staff comfort me. Because I just want to address something this morning that has been widespread in churches, and in Christians across America have used this message in the wrong way. And I want to address this, and I'll talk with anybody who'd like to this week. You can come and see me. We can discuss this as much as you'd like. But people have abused this message. And they've made this into some kind of thing that where the shepherd has this rod, and if you get out of line, pow, he's going to smack you upside your head. And that's what comfort is. They made this thing where the shepherd, and they use this illustration, God help us, they use this illustration where the shepherd will find that wandering sheep and that he'll snap his leg and then bind it and then carry that sheep around until he's better like that. And the problem with that illustration is it never happened. It didn't happen in the physical. They asked the shepherds this question and they kind of laughed because they said, well, what if two sheep went off or three sheep? Because sheep look fluffy, but they're not light, all right? They're 40, 50, 60 pounds. I'm not carrying five sheep around. And so the shepherd in the physical, they laugh at this idea. And it's not biblical, this idea. All right? Luke 15, Jesus said, the shepherd will leave the 99 and go and search for the one. And when he finds it, you know this story, when he finds it, he will lift it up on his shoulders, bring it back, and then what does he do? He calls everyone to come and rejoice. Come and rejoice because the lost one is found. Come and rejoice because the lost one is found. I have read every translation that I could find of this story. And none of them say that when he found that lost sheep, he beat him senseless, snapped his leg, and threw him back in the pen as like a warning to the other sheep. None of them say that. No, it says he rejoices over the one that was lost. And I want to just apologize on behalf of every pastor or Christian or church that told you that God just wants to beat you up. He just wants to smack you upside your head with that rod. God is the good shepherd. Jesus is the good shepherd. It says the shepherd doesn't beat up the sheep. The shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The shepherd defends. And the shepherds tried to, the ones that they asked, they tried to make a clarification. They said, yeah, they use the rod, but they don't hit the sheep. They said they kind of hold it just to show them where the boundaries are. But the business side of that rod is not meant for you. It's meant for the wolf. He's not hitting you with it. He's standing between you and the wolf. It says the shepherd lays down. The hired hand's going to run off when the wolf comes. But the shepherd has that rod. And let me put it this way. This wolf is not afraid of you. You're a little sheep. Get that in your brain. You're out there all on your own. The wolf shows up. You're lunch, all right? You're the appetizer. The wolf is afraid of the shepherd because the shepherd's got the rod. The shepherd is defending the sheep. He's afraid of, and he gets between us, and that he's not beating you with the rod. He's protecting you. The shepherd stands between you and that. Jesus said in John 10, said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Lays down his life. That's the fifth one that the shepherd defends. Here's number six. The shepherd blesses. He blesses. Some of you grew up and you were told God's mad at you. God's withholding from you. God is not a withholder. God is the giver of good things. God is not a withholder. God is a giver. And he said, I like the way that the verse says, it says, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. The word there for follow is actually chase down. I like the imagery there, that the goodness of God will just chase you down. The blessing of God, they'll chase you. And another phrase, it'll tackle you. The goodness of God will chase you down and tackle you. Sure, the goodness and mercy will follow me. David was convinced that it means it's going to chase you. It wants to be with you so much. Hebrews 13, verse 20 with me. Now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, may he equip you with, and everyone say these next two words together, everything good. Some things, little things, not things, everything. Everything good. Let him give you everything good for doing his will. If you understand who he is, how he wants to relate to you, that's all this series is about. Knowing Jesus as our shepherd, spending time with Jesus as our teacher, as our friend, as our Lord. I just want to kind of spend time with him. And it'll just change your relationship. It'll change the way that you interact with Jesus. So let's close here. I had. How do we respond to this? I put together three things. You know, they tell you to do that. Three points in a poem and all that kind of. It's really just one. And there's only one response to kind of seeing Jesus as our shepherd, and that is, I'll put it this way: if I am a sheep in Jesus' flock, and he loves me the way that I just described to you, Where do you think I'm going to be? I'm not going to be on the fringes, right? If I'm a sheep in the flock, if we're the flock, I am going to push you out of the way to be as close as I can to Jesus. I'm going to shove and bite and kick, and I'm going to be as close as I can to the shepherd. If he's got that rod to protect me, and I'm going to be underneath his covering and his blessing, and he blesses, and he protects, and he provides, and he leads, I'm going to be as close as I can to that shepherd. I promise you, if you know what your response ought to be, you ought to be right where he is. Jesus said it this way. He said, know me, know the shepherd. He said, I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Get close to him. He'll be the shepherd of your soul. I know the sheep. And the sheep know me. Let's bow our heads together. Jesus, we just come before you, God. Father, if we've messed up the relationship or we've made it a different way, Lord, we just pray, God, that you become our shepherd again. That we see you as the shepherd of our souls. Just bless us, Lord. And some of us, honestly, if we're very honest, we're not close. In fact, Jesus said we're like sheep that have gone astray, each one to his own way. And this morning, I just want to give an invitation. I don't want to close the service without doing this. I want to give an invitation just to come back to the flock. This is not condemnation in any way. This is not trying to point fingers. This is nothing like that. This is just saying, hey, if you feel like in your own life you have strayed, if you feel like you have moved away from that, you have gone away from the flock, you've moved away from Jesus as your shepherd, I just want to invite you back to have that intimate relationship with him. I just want you to know him in that way, as a shepherd. And so today, with every head bowed, every eye closed, I just want to pray with you, just for a moment with me. If you're saying, I'm not in the flock right now, I've gone astray. And some of you, you've never been in it. And some of you, you've wandered. And I just want to speak to both of those. If that's you, if you say, well, I've wandered a little bit, and you find yourself away today, I just want to invite you back. If no one else has ever done that, if no one else has ever spoken to you about the shepherd who wants you, not some earthly pastor or church or anything like that, but Jesus, the shepherd who wants you, that he's calling you, that he wants you, that he loves you. He wants to be your shepherd. And so I just want to invite you to come close to him. That's what the response is, just to come close to him. Really knowing him, not just mentally, but with your heart knowing him. And you say, well, how do I do that? How do I come close? How do I get back in the flock? How do I follow Jesus as my shepherd? You just commit your life to him. You just surrender the control. You basically say, I'm not going to live my life for myself. I'm not going to go astray. Each to their own way. I'm going to submit myself under the care of my shepherd, Jesus. And so my question this morning is really simple. It's just, who needs a shepherd today? Again, I'm not talking about a man or an earthly pastor or anything. Who needs Jesus? You need that. And we're going to pray a commitment prayer right where you're seated. We're not rushing this. We're not trying to pressure you. We're not going to make you come to the front. We're not going to do anything like that. We're just going to ask you to pray this with us. You say, when I'm ready, I want to commit my life. I'm ready to do it. I'm ready to turn my life over to the shepherd. I'm ready to have that covering, to have him provide, to have him protect, to have him lead, to have him bless. So every head is bowed, every eye is closed. If that's you today, you want to be included in that. You want to say, Jesus is my shepherd. You say, just include me in that prayer. If that's you today, just boldly, just stretch up your hand. No one's looking around. Thank you in the back. That's you today. You want to be included in that prayer. And we'll wait for you. If you want to, just stretch up your hand. If you're listening online or watching, thank you in the front. Thank you. Thank you. I'm proud of you. Gosh, just be praying with these four. That's you. Just say, include me in that prayer. I want to get back. like you. I want to get back. All right, you can put your hands down. If that's you, let's just pray with these five. And I'm going to pray this prayer. Just repeat the words after me, and we're all going to pray it with you. We're all going to pray. But that's you. If you lifted your hand, come on, just pray this from your heart. Say, Jesus, be my shepherd. Be my Lord. I surrender control of my life. Forgive me for going astray. Come into my life. Jesus, make me brand new. With all of my heart, I'll serve you. I give you my life. And Jesus, I celebrate with the people who just made that most incredible decision of their life. Lord, I pray for every person in this room, God, who needs a shepherd, that they're hurting and they feel deserted. They feel like everyone has left them, God, that you support them. Lord, I pray, and they're going through a difficulty. Come on, just receive this, church. Lord, be the shepherd of their souls today. Be the one that brings provision, God. Be the one that brings restoration. Be the one that brings guidance, Father. Lead them, protect them. Bring us life, Lord. God, touch them in a way that only you can. Jesus, be our shepherd. Protect them, support them. God, I bless them with every good thing. Jesus, that you would bless them. We'll give you all the glory and all the praise. In Jesus' name. And all God's church said, amen. Amen. Come on, guys. Hey, guys, here's your chance this morning. Here's your chance. Just stand with me. Here's your chance just to give back your worship and your praise to the shepherd of our souls. We're just going to sing just to end the service. We just want to praise him. We just want to worship him. I'm not going to tell you how to worship. But let's just praise him. Let's just worship him for who he is. The shepherd of our souls. Come on, let's sing it out to him.
There is no other name. There is no other name.